listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Greetings and good day and good morning and good afternoon and good evening and welcome to Journeys on the 19th of August 2013. It just seems to be whizzing by. These days are weird. These days when the old weird is the new normal and the new weird is extremely weird. Today, I am going to be on the not-so-normal end of normal. I'll be speaking to my friend Dave Kelso, who will be, no doubt, pursuing some enlightening thread or two. Good afternoon, Dave. How are you?
You've joined us for the pursuit of knowledge, enlightenment, and truth, and instead you found Dave Kelso. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
So, yes. Enlightenment through humor and through videos and all sorts of things. Do you want to share with the audience a little bit about how you got here? In whatever way you may interpret that question.
Well, one day my mom and dad were... I'm kidding. Anyway, I do know that in a little bit here, I will need to take a quick pause because dinner will literally be arriving at my doorstep. That takes anywhere between a half hour to an hour, kind of depending. And that has been ordered just prior to the call. It seems like everything has been... Well, let me put it this way. The 19th today, I'm sure a lot of people are going through this today as well, seems to be the climax of a major collective shift, which began a few days ago. And I've been referring to it as the reboot or the reset. 'Cause my reality on every level, physical and every other level, I mean, including computers, the internet, worldview paradigms, daily routine. I mean, this day is definitely on the upper side of the new weird, where I've been forced to completely let go of routine and to see things in completely and totally different ways and just let go to things just as they are instead of getting all frustrated, hot, and bothered. It's been one of those days that in the old energies would have really annoyed the shit out of most people, but with all the shifting that I've been doing lately and just, you know, getting more and more practice at looking at things differently, I was definitely seeing all of this very differently than I would have even, you know, 3 months ago, and it's just really just amazing. Because this new... weird, as you like to say. It's not good, it's not bad, it's not anything. It's really just kind of neutral, which is really great, because that means that it is what we decide to make of it. So yeah, on the individual level, if we decide to make it a living hell for ourselves, we certainly can, and the universe is not going to sit down with us, you know, over a cup of coffee and try to talk us out of it. But, you know, we can make this whatever. The sky's just... the limit. It's like we're simultaneously destroying and rejuvenating the planet at the same time. Like, for all the destruction, there's just as much creation. For all the quote-unquote bad or negative, there's just as much quote-unquote good and positive. And another part of it, I think, is getting rid of the idea of negative being bad and positive being good, or vice versa. Because let me tell you, if we judge the negative lead on the car battery as evil and the positive lead on the car battery as good, would we be able to start the car?
Absolutely. You need the traction. that one gives to the other. Without friction, there is no. You couldn't climb up a hill. You need these things, opposition forces, in order to gain leverage to push yourself and then pull everybody up with you.
Yeah, things need to be in balance, but as ironic as this universe is, I think one of its core fundamental, you know, building blocks is irony. but, you know, there's actually two types of balance. There's like a dysfunctional, imbalanced balance, and then there's a functional, stable balance. And the dysfunctional balance, what we refer to as balance, but really it's not, you might think of as, you know, trying to hold, you know, one thing of equal weight with, you know, each arm and stressing out your arms, or the juggler trying to juggle balls and adding more and more balls and keep them in balance. That's the dysfunctional balance. The more functional balance is symbiotic, like strands of DNA weaving around each other, or that balance to where most people don't realize that a river is like a conveyor belt. The current on the top is going in one direction, the current on the bottom is going in another. That's why rivers can dead end and still have flow, because it's like a conveyor belt. Most people also don't realize how jet planes actually fly, because you've got what would otherwise be a multi-ton expensive paperweight, and the jet's out its ass want to push it forward, and it's creating an equal and opposite resistance in the face of it, which wants to push it in the reverse direction. Both of those opposing forces want to hold the plane down to the ground. So then what does the plane do? It channels that energy. It uses its wing flaps and its tail flaps to take that energy that would normally be resistance coming at it and make it go up, down, left, and right. So the same is true with resistance, or quote-unquote so-called negativity in our lives, because negativity is not bad. It's just an opposite polarity. And we can either be held down like the world's most funky-looking paperweight and sit there and piss, moan, and cry and go, poor little me, I'm a victim, or we can channel that energy and we can fly and we can propel ourselves forward into great things. And that's up to us, because positive and negative are ironically inherently neutral. It's what we do with them. I mean, truth being colored by perspective, how many things do we consider to be positive that a pessimistic person take as a negative because they think it's unrealistic or delusional? How many people do the ideas of butterflies and rainbows and unicorns make them sick? And how many people do the ideas of blood, death, and gore, they go, oh, wow, that's cool. You know, I mean, truth is just colored by perspective. And when we zoom out, we could see that nothing's good nor bad. It's just there's the physics of things being what they are. There's an energetic mechanics to things. And we can see that just some polarities of energy cooperate with each other and others don't. And if we want to be in that cooperation, then that's our choice to be, and our choice to learn more and more how to do that. And if we don't, then that's our choice to be. But these energies are not to blame, you know, like it's not the globalist elite's fault that all of the things in the world are happening. They're not the cause of the problem. They are one of the problems. And it's the masses that are waking up that have given permission for these globalist elites to do what they're doing. People think of them as this organized Illuminati, all-powerful gods or something. You can't beat them. What they actually are is a bunch of three-year-olds drunk on alcohol, while simultaneously high on crack, with a lot of money, a lot of resources, and their choices are completely unsobered at this point. They're at each other's throats. There is no one at the helm of the ship of state of any government. And this is a very good opportunity for humanity, for the people to unite and to move beyond these paradigms and become the parents of these little kids that we're supposed to be. It's time to put them in their corners, send them to their rooms. Although for a lot of them, their rooms are a jail cell for, you know, 20 to life, but that's besides the point.
So a kind of global naughty step.
Yep, but I mean, we just got to see that we've given permission for this, all of this to happen. You know, I mean, we're the many, they're the few. They wouldn't be able to do this without our consent, be it witting or unwitting. We're still giving them permission.
Yeah, but okay, so let's unpick that one a little bit, because I've always had a little bit of an issue with this mode of thinking, is that, you know, we've already given them permission, so it's okay for them to do what they do to us.
Well, I'm not saying it's okay.
All right, you're not. So I'm not saying it's okay either.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at it like this. Fire is what it is, and if you touch it, you get burned.
That's right.
So I'm speaking purely on the physics. We have given them permission. That's the physics of it. So we're allowing them to do what they're doing. That's the physics of it. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying, you know, I'm in the burning building saying, let's get out of the burning building, where everyone else is in the burning building closing their ears and closing their eyes and humming, there is no fire, there is no fire, there is no fire, there is no fire. And I'm just done doing that. You know, it's like, look, the physics of it is what it is. Ego doesn't like to see that we've given permission. Just like ego doesn't like to see that when we make a choice and take an action, there's consequences. And I'm not looking at that in terms of anything being okay or not okay. It's just there's consequences for action. Physics is what it is. And when we look at things in terms of okay and not okay, right, wrong, good, bad, we're putting a judgment on it. And that judgment is, you know, it's energetic resistance. It's actually fueling it, like putting kerosene on the fire. What you resist persists. That's why the war on cancer leads to more cancer. The war on drugs leads to more drugs. And the war on terror has most certainly led to more terrorism.
Yeah, indeed, the war on anything leads to more war.
Exactly, that's all I'm saying. So that's how we've given permission. We, of our own free will, have said, this is my belief system, and this belief system is going to govern these actions, and these are the actions I'm going to take, and you can't talk me out of it. Well, those actions have consequences.
So, given that's where we find ourselves...
It's a great opportunity.
Yeah. So, having discovered that one is being subject to something without one's conscious consent, and discovered that, okay, it's an unconscious consent that we've given.
Exactly.
How do we then harmonize the situation so that no one's being hassled?
Well, free will is a bit of a bitch. One of the keys is... at least in my experience, is respecting people's rights to their paradigms, because you can't convince anyone by force of anything. So, you know, that's what these, like, a lot of the truthers don't understand that are going around screaming about the Illuminati. They're just stirring up fear. And you're going to have people that just aren't going to believe it no matter what. And their belief systems and their paradigms require of them that the, shall we say, the totalitarian boot needs to kick them in the butt before they wake up. And that has been a lot of what's happening. I've seen a lot of people waking up because something happens to them. You know, their home gets taken away from them illegally, or, you know, any number of 10 zillion things happening. And they go, oh, wow, you know, there's something going on here. Something's not right. I guess, you know, this isn't all just... you know, conspiracy theory and whatever. Because the only thing you can really do to even come close to maybe shifting someone else's view is inspire them, inspire their curiosity. You can't convince them, you can't force them. All you can do is be that which, from their paradigm, their rules of their reality, they have a rule that says someone like you can't exist. What you're doing, you can't do. That's a pipe dream. That's impossible. So when you do that in front of them, then you're like that, you know, pink flying elephant that just flew down the street, so to speak. One part of them says that doesn't exist, but their logical mind can't get around the fact that they really did just observe this, and they're pretty sure that no one spiked their fetus Pepsi with LSD And so, you know, that's the way you wake people up, mostly, is by just inspiring them. That's why Gandhi said, be the change you want to create in the world. Take it upon yourself to do what other people's belief systems claim can't be done. Just be you. Be that living example. Be that template. And then people are either going to observe what you're doing and get curious and want to know how to do similar things, or they're going to reject you and they're going to make excuses to hate you. They're going to say, oh, well, that's bullshit, or that's a scam, or that's witchcraft, or that's whatever, you know, insert whatever excuse they're going to make in whatever box they're going to put you in. But that's their choice. That's the important thing to really move into is, you can't override free will choice. People are going to think they're going to do what they're going to do regardless of what you say or do. And when you respect their right to that, then you are then in turn respecting more of your right to be who you are, which gives you what Jay Larson likes to refer to as frequency coherence. Because when you're talking about co-creating reality, I mean, it really does work like electricity. What has more frequency coherence, a 9-volt battery or your electrical wall outlet? You know what I mean?
So you're talking essentially, when you're talking about coherence and frequency coherence, it's like an orchestra playing in concert. Everybody's in tune with each other. Everybody's in time with each other. So everything's in unison. You're a one, acting as one, many acting as one. And, you know, we are many acting as one inside ourselves as well. We're a committee.
Exactly. And the people that want to align with that idea of separation and the dysfunction, they're like the 9-volt battery. They're unable to unify as respecting each other as sovereign individuals, co-creating and cooperating. They're unable to unify, so they don't have anywhere near as much power, literally and figuratively, as sovereign individuals who are coming together, cooperating, co-creating, respecting each other's individuality and sovereignty, and respecting that when you align with people who are of similar frequency to you, everything is automatic. You don't have to convince anybody of anything. Here's an example. I have a question. Do you know Helene Lipson?
She's one of the radio hosts here on Revolution Radio, I believe. Is that correct? Oh, no. She's within 5D. She's good with Greg Prescott. That's right. Yes.
I have recently synchronistically aligned with her. It's also been amazing that within the things that have been happening in my life, the coincidences, or shall we say coincidences, we pronounced that one wrong, the coincidences, it's just amazing that I could just see, you know, the alignments of it, and the way we aligned is just beautiful. It was just natural and just in flow, and it's almost as if her and I were of one mind for a moment there, and we were automatically just driven to a Skype conversation, which was something like two and a half hours, and everything was just completely in flow. We were both totally on the same page, and just that energy coherence was just amazing. And that these sorts of things happen automatically. That, you know, there's no resistance, there's no division when you let go to divine will. And yes, that's a metaphor, obviously, for, because language just doesn't really do the job for describing these things properly, really, not at all. We haven't all mastered telepathy yet. But just that surrendering of divine will, in other words, that understanding that the universe does function as it should and only we get in our own way. When we surrender that and just kind of let things flow and we become the observer that quantum physics talks about, and we kind of just kind of sit back and take a breath, it's not the idea of having blind faith in things you don't understand and letting that freak the crap out of you. What happens is when you let go all of a sudden, it's like connecting to the internet. You have data access, letting go of the idea that your laptop knows all there is to know, and opening up to the idea of using Google or whatever search engine you like. It's kind of like that. And when you do that, everything, it just flows naturally. Like you've got, you know, all these websites on this one internet, and even though they're all individuated websites doing all of what they're doing, they're still in flow with each other. They're on the same network. They're not colliding and destroying each other. They're not fighting. They're all coexisting. This is this natural flow. And it's just, these experiences are beautiful when you meet people on this natural flow. Like you and I got to know each other on a natural flow. There was no force there. It's just a natural flow. Me and Jay got to know each other on a natural flow. No one needed to convince anyone of anything. Just the reality was what it was. All the puzzle pieces came together, and we just allowed the flow. And that's the type of frequency coherence that I'm talking about that creates the great change. And the division that has very little power, politics is an example of that division. I mean, how much really gets done with politics other than not much at all? At least not anything for the people.
As Mr. Zappa said, it's the entertainment division of the military-industrial complex. So we can disregard that, but the main problems with the world are pollution and warmongering and scumbaggery. Yeah. Of general, you know, people think, you know, mob rule. It's not like thousands of people. No, the mob. It's the mafia. You know, that's mafia rule. Mob rule is mafia rule.
That's what the word democracy means.
Yeah, democracy, yes.
You know, people say, wait a minute, the NWO is moving us away from a democracy. No, they're not. They're moving us into it. Democracy means rule of mafia.
And
Democratic Republic means rule of mafia, but the people get to check and balance and govern that mob rule so that it doesn't get out of hand. But what they've been doing is, you know, eliminating the republic out of Democratic Republic so that it's just democratic, so that, you know, it's nothing personal, it's just a business. Bam.
Yeah, I mean, it is all a business. The whole of, you know, what we think is ideology and politics is actually much more of a business model. Seems to work. And, you know, you come from my kind of town, a very forested area, you say, but also there's a lot of the kind of undercurrents that we've been talking about seem to originate from the... From the land upon you which you walk, Mr. Kelso.
I come from the land of the thief and the home of the slave.
Anyway, so, so Chicago. According to David Hawkins and Field McConnell, Chicago is the hotbed of it all. It's where they kind of originally plugged in Barry Sotero and out popped Barack Obama.
It is, but it's more than that too.
I bet.
You know, energies have to remain in balance, so for as much corruption as there is, there's just as much of its opposite. Pay no attention to the movie industry with your ideas of Chicago, because most of Chicago is a forest. I'm not kidding. We have more animals outside the zoo than inside the zoo. Chicago is lush and green and beautiful. They chemtrail here like a son of a gun, and we are such a ley line intersection point, and that really brings such vitality to nature that I kind of envision it as nature flipping the Illuminati the bird. It's like, screw you, I'm not going to let your chemtrails do anything to me. So while in other parts of even the United States, where it's maybe not on ley line intersections, where you have trees dying left and right, you have nature flourishing here. Granted, it is taking some damage. You have some trees that are weakening. You have a few tree deaths, so on and so forth. But for the most part, there is a flourishing of nature, and the people here are starting more and more to realize what's going on. On the local news, it all used to be here mostly brainwashing crap, and to a large extent it still is. But now I'm seeing more and more things on the news where corruption is being identified, and the people making statements on TV, instead of the usual statements you might be used to, of, oh, woe is me, I'm in such victimization. I'm seeing people say things, but you know what? That's okay, because this has only united our local community. This has made us stronger. This is an opportunity. I've never heard people say that on the news. I mean, you see the interviews, it's like, oh, my dog died, my wife died, everybody died, it's all doom and gloom when, you know, people are interviewed. But now it's like, well, we don't like what happened, but this is only uniting us and bringing us together as a stronger family, and we will prevail, and this is community, and this is unity. And I'm looking at the news like, holy collective shift, Batman, that never happens.
Yeah, so we're seeing these things that we've been studying, learning about, wondering, hoping. We're starting to see them actually manifest before our eyes.
Yeah, it's amazing. And just the things that have been happening in my life personally, it's like half of it I don't even have words for, and the other half would just take too long and be confusing. But let's just say my life just keeps getting more and more quantum all the time, and I can't prove it to anybody. But the most important thing is, when you're living that type of a life and these things are happening, the important thing to realize is that you don't have to prove it to anybody. Just be you. And, you know, if people don't want to believe you, that's okay. You know, like Rebecca Jernigan said, when she was at the Awaken Aware conference at Camelot in 2009, she said, you know, don't be silent when people say, oh, that stuff you're doing, that stuff you're posting, it seems kind of crazy. Just smile and say, well, you know, it works for me. And that's really what we need to do. And the only way to do that is have equal respect for someone else's right to think you're completely nuts.
Yeah, well, that's a. I've always called that the Findhorn insult. You know, we have a New Age community here, and I often hear people talk. You know, they're so excited about this new therapy or that new, ideology that they found, and and the response is generally, you know, well, yes, if it works for you, then that's great. So I mean, to me, it's also a bit of a kind of dismissal of somebody's ideas as well.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm actually talking about it a bit more inverted. I'm not saying to tell someone, well, if it works for you. I'm saying when someone comes to you and says you're nuts, just being able to say, well, it works for me. And that is not only respecting your right to live your life the way you feel you need to live it, but you're also respecting the other person's right to think you're nuts. Because one thing I've noticed is that this is like a really humbling realization for my own ego, is that in the past when someone would come at me with what we might consider to be quote-unquote rude and insulting statements, and you're looking at them like, my God, you know, they're trying to put me in a box I don't fit in, and trying to tell me that I need to fit to their paradigm, or I'm doing something naughty. So then when I come back like, oh, how dare you say that? It dawned on me that I was doing the exact same thing that they were doing. It's two sides of the same dichotomy. In saying, how dare you do that? What I'm saying is, how dare you be you? You have no right to have your own opinion of thinking that I'm crazy. You have no right to authentically express your dysfunction out to the world, even though it is authentic. You have no right to do that. And I realize it's like, wow, I'm being just as much of a Nazi as they are. We're both doing the same thing to each other from two different expressions, two different perspectives, but it's the same thing. And now I've been getting more into a habit of, when someone does that stuff to me, I'm actually just kind of able to see the value in it and just be able to say, hey, you know, how you're perceiving me, that's not how I'm meaning to come off, but, you know, I respect your right to perceive it as that, and, you know, I honor your right to think, feel, and express as you wish to, even if that means you're judging me and hating me, you know, that's cool. You know, we can agree to disagree. You know, I'm completely fine with that, and I encourage you to, you know, continue sticking to what you feel is right for you. And usually about all they can do is shut up, because now you've become the change you wanted to create in the world. They don't have programming. They don't have indoctrination in their brain for what to do when someone decides to respect their right to be themselves. They only have that opposition and division programming. So now you've violated the laws of their reality. You know, Barbara Marciniak talks about that too. Remember Bringers of the Dawn? She said, learn to violate the laws of humanity. And this is a lot of what she was talking about. I could see that in hindsight now. To just be that which everyone thinks is impossible and respect other people's right to be that which they deem to be in the moment and let them learn and shift at their own pace. Sometimes people got to learn the hard lessons, you know, and you just got to honor that. That's what they incarnated here for.
Yep.
Who are we to try to take that away from them?
Exactly. Sometimes it's very difficult to hold yourself back from wanting to just help people along the way. You know, tell them just the next move that they have to make. You know, somehow you want to make it easier for them.
But you can't. The only thing you could do is to let them know that you are there for them for support if they choose it, if they want it, but no pressure. And that's really the best thing you can do for people like that, and it's one thing that I've had to learn, because I would always get ahead of myself, and occasionally I still do. In fact, I've had a recent experience where, you know, just affirming to someone when they were in a moment that, you know, they are deserving and they are worthy and, you know, that I have faith in them, actually put them in more than just a little bit of a rage against me. And in hindsight, I can see why. Because they were in this, I guess, overloaded moment. And what I did was I added the straw that broke the camel's back, you might say. One of the good intentions that the road to hell is paved with. Because I was seeing things too much from the 3D left brain side, because it doesn't matter what the logic is. It doesn't matter that you are saying all these good, wonderful, supportive things. What you're saying is still consisting of energy that when you're tossing it at them, they need to process. And if they are already overloaded, then it doesn't matter how wonderfully well-intended you are. You just added too much weight onto them, and there's a consequence for that. And I recently experienced that and was able to see that not in a mode of self-victimization, but looking at it energetically and going, oh, okay, I see. I see that I was well-intended, but I was not enough in the heart. I was too much in the mind. I was well-intended. I wanted to show them that I believe in them and have faith in them, and they are deserving and they are worthy, but it was just the straw that broke the camel's back, and the whole energetic construct collapsed because they were already in a state of overload. So I wasn't doing them any favors.
Often we have to just...
My pizza's here. My pizza's here.
Ah, the pizza's arrived. So... Oh dear. Well, while Dave is getting his pizza, let's have a few station announcements. One of them is you are listening to Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com. You're also listening to Wolf Spirit Radio on wolfspiritradio.com. And you're also listening to No Borders Radio, based here in the UK, on noborderradio.co.uk. All these shows are donated by all the hosts. The stations are listener supported. That's why you don't hear commercials between all the segments. All the segments are long. much longer than you get on a commercial station. We run on donations, so please go along and click on the donation button on freedomslips.com, on wolfspiritradio.com, and on noborderradio.co.uk, if such a thing exists. I don't know if they've got that. Actually, I'll have to ask them if they got a button. Hey guys, tell me if you got a button. So Dave is still off getting his Disney's the motion picture. Right, okay. Now where I'm looking at, I have to look at various chat rooms and all of that. And if you're on Revolution Radio's chat room, if you could put a B in front of the question in uppercase, if you have questions for myself or my guest Dave Kelso, also known as Time Warrior, we've been around a few years, and also Dave is friends with Jay. We've all been working together on this this Scalar project, and I finally bought a little MP3 player. Very interesting. I've been experimenting using this device in the last couple of days to see what can be moved without moving, to see what can be shifted without effort, but with a change in feeling. And it's very interesting. I will fill everybody in on the details of that further down the road. So, yes, brother from another mother. Which Dave is the guest? Dave Kelso, otherwise known as Time Warrior. So, well, very good. It's good, right? So it's good to see everybody here in Wolf Spirit Radio chat room, and good evening, everybody. And if anybody would like to call in, I think Dave's actually gone off to eat his pizza, so it's going to be probably about half an hour, as he said. So that's great. Let's have a look if there's a if anybody would like to call in actually. Speak with us. You can connect through the wolfspirit.switchboard Skype connection. That's a nice clean one. You usually get a good sound. The chat room in Wolf Spirit Radio is the kind of main one that I'm looking at. But there is one also on No Borders Radio and on freedomslips.com. If you're on Freedom Slips, please put a B in front of it. All right, so it's all very quiet here. And so pizza in Chicago must be being delivered. That's a very interesting thing to have there. So been looking at that. Good, nothing there. So he's going. Right, okay. So what variety of pizza? That's a very good question, Norm, and normally one that I'd be interested into. if you'd like to get a pizza, go and get a nice wholemeal one, try and get gluten-free. Oh, sorry, Time Warrior. Is my sound all broken up? Time Warrior is my guest. He's from Chicago. We met in the chat room from Rebecca Jernigan's show. We used to call it the Pod. It was a really good place. It was a nice place that I found myself in after a difficult relationship breakup. So that was where I was, and we all found ourselves having similar interests and helping each other, finding new ways, giving each other good ideas. So, yes, Chicago, there's a funny website. Oh, yes, he's got, Fence Switch is one of his things. I think he's Time Warrior on YouTube as well. But yes, he did say Time Warrior. That's right. That's right. Except he's not on at the moment because he's gone to get his dinner. So he'll probably be back in about half an hour. If you All right, so there we go. Yeah, I sound okay. Oh, that's good. That's good. You can never tell. Some days it's brilliant, and some days it's really, really rather awful. Which sort of Chicago pizza? Well, we'll have to find out when he comes back. So let's have a quick. Let's join Jay. This is. There you go. Hello, Jay. This is Jay Larson.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I had cut out Wolf Spirit Chat.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Because, yeah, so it wouldn't echo.
How are you, my friend?
Oh, great. I've been having fun with the little scalar device on myself. It helps with my clearing, and I do find that if I'm going through muscle spasms and I'm using that with that new frequency that I gave you, the one I call now, I reconfigured what Earth frequency should be by the circumference of the Earth and divided it by the speed of light, and came out with the frequency of 7.48, and from there I divided by 2 and again by 2 to get the lower brainwave frequencies that were in synchronization with that frequency. And then I multiplied the number also by 2 twice to produce the other frequencies. And it sounds sort of like a cross between, if you're listening to it on stereo, a cross between a purring of a cat and a heartbeat. There's a very definite sound to it. And this is what I've been using on the new scalar wave pattern that I was using, and it actually calms down my muscle spasms when I got muscle spasms.
Well, that's very interesting. I'm just looking at the implications of that frequency there. So 7.48, yeah. I find it. It's like the purr of a cat to me. It's very comforting, the sound. Let me see if I can bring it up and play it on the over the air. Where was it? I'm just trying to remember where I put it. Oh yes, there we go, in my documents, in the scalar folder. Of course I would put it in the scalar folder. There it is now. And so what we've been talking about, there it is. Let's bring it in. Yeah, that's enough. So that's the sound that we're talking about, that is being transmitted through a scalar device, which is a caduceus coil, which is wrapped around a ferrite core. Now, ferrite, if anybody's ever taken apart an old transistor radio, you'll see there's a kind of dark grey stick that has got copper coils all wound around it, and that's the aerial. And that's what it looks like. It's a piece of that, but it's got this coil wound in a particular way. And from what I can understand, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong! Just kidding.
Hello, Dave. I said, correct me, don't punish me.
Well, you decided to have me on your show, so you punished yourself.
Yeah, I know.
That was your choice.
That's right, my choice. Did I really say that? Anyway, listen. So we're just talking about the caduceus coil and the little device, and I'm finding myself. It's like it really, to me, it's like the feeling of having a cat sitting on your lap and purring. It's just like a nice, yummy feeling. And you can't see it, you can't hear it, but you feel it. what you got, Dave?
I'm here.
What food have you got there?
Because this is Chicago, I've got Chicago pizza. Real pizza is only made in New York and Chicago, except no substitute.
Very crackly.
Yeah, and my dad is about to watch Prometheus. Thank you for that, Jay.
Yeah.
Jolly good. So, so we've been talking about this Caduceus call. Have you got one of these then?
I haven't sent him one yet. Wait till the third. I got it made up already. It's just, you know, the postage. I sent two out this month. One to Thailand and the other to England. And the postage gets expensive, especially when you're building devices and stuff as well. So I have a limited number I can send out at a time, being on Social Security disability and all.
Sure. Listen, once I get some cash in my PayPal, it'll be straight to you.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And
I'd use it to bail more out.
exactly. Good. I'm really pleased. Giordano's invented stuffed spinach pizza. We're not going to have a show about pizza, are we? I'm trying to be off gluten and off meat, you know. And you.
I've ordered from Super Rosa, not Giordano's.
Super Rosa. Go to Super Rosa's Pizza in Chicago and have a really good pizza. That's not very convincing, isn't it?
The only way anyone can be convinced is come visit Chicago and try it for yourself.
Just wait until we get teleportation devices, then you can order the pizza from whatever pizza parlor you want.
Now that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I want a Martian pizza with Venusian prawns and Jovian cabbage. They grow to 20 feet. Just one leaf is enough to feed a family for a year.
Yeah, thank you for calling Bringers of the Pizza. How may I help you? I'd like an 18-inch Marciniak pizza with... some extra consciousness expansion and
and go heavy on the living library.
Pleiadian pepper brahmi, yeah. So pizza. Oh god, you see, my son has only just left and he's been torturing me by cooking pizza in the oven every couple of days. And Joe, stop that. Because I'm trying to get off wheat and off meat, and pizza being like both of that, and more. I don't know. But
yes, folks, just don't ask Vrilon to show you his Pleiadian sausage. It's not what you think.
Oh, Vrilon! Hey, do you remember the original Vrilon recording?
Yes, I do.
I've done a cover version of that. I've got it on one of my SoundCloud Ever Beyonds, but I basically did a version, you know, made it sound the same, using the same techniques as the guy did. I mean, it's really very obvious what he was using, because you can tell by the sound of the technology, in terms of the echo unit, for instance, they were using a very early Bucket Brigade device, so it kind of places it. Or they were using a tape recorder to do it. But it's basically, like an audio student's project. And of course nobody's going to admit to it. They're probably going to be about 80 before they're going to dare admit to doing that. But
well,
it's East Anglia students.
It still could have been a channeled message.
It
doesn't negate its authenticity. I mean, Barbara Marciniak isn't exactly straight from Alcyon, if you get my meaning.
It just dawned on me.
She didn't beam down. But that doesn't invalidate her message.
Mm. So, So I was playing around with it, and I just basically took the original recording and speeded it up back to how it was when it was recorded. And it's a very, very ordinary sounding bloke when you listen to him. Here we go. The Ashtar command speeded to normal.
Stopping the execution of all captured prisoners of war. I give over the statement of negotiations. Being arrested. In Australia, Mr. K. Pack and his frigates are still in the air. High court decision. It's the command on the playing test match.
This is the voice of Omar, representative of the Ashtar Galactic Command, speaking to you. For many years, you have seen us as knights and skies. We speak to you now and consider these things we have done to your brothers and sisters all over this, your planet Earth. We come to you.
And so on, and so on, and so on. So, I just use the same techniques, but digitally it took me about 2 hours to reproduce it.
Sometimes people say, well, you know, like especially about channeled messages, like, oh well, how can you believe them? That's a bunch of crap. There's no such thing as channeling, and da 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 da. My answer to that is, you know what? I don't care if someone claims they're channeling Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, because I have faith in my own abilities for discernment. And it's not about the messenger. It doesn't matter if the message came from out there or, you know, someone three doors down or what. If the message has a purpose and it's helpful and you're able to use it as a tool in your life to make it better, then that is the only thing that is important. The messenger is not important. It is the tool being offered and your ability to use it. Even if the tool is valid, if you don't feel you can use it, then don't use it. Go look for a tool that you can use.
Yes, you could use a jigsaw, or you could use a... Depends what you want to do it. What do you want to use it for? Appropriate tools for the appropriate job.
Exactly, and that's all it's about. But people look to the messenger. You know, same mistake they've made with, like, Jesus Christ and all the avatars, same mistake people make with politicians and celebrities. It's like, you know, look, these people aren't any better or worse or lesser or greater than anybody else. They're just a person with a message. And if you feel that their message is useful, then cool. And if not, then that's just as good. Whatever works.
Whatever works for you. So, I'm sorry, you just took another mouthful there, and I realized that, uh-oh, no, I should be talking here. So, bless your heart, I don't want you to die live on the air, Dave, that would be coronary. Quick, somebody give him the Heimlich.
Look, you have manifested a way to shut me up for periods of time. Be thankful.
Yeah, the pizza. Just make sure you get it. Dave, order yourself a pizza. It'll be here in 45 minutes. So you've been doing research about the scalar stuff as well, have you, Dave?
A little bit. Not as much as Jay.
And is Jay still here?
No.
Oh, he ducked out, didn't he? Oh, look at that. There's he gone. There he was gone once again, as they say. So, well, but thanks for joining us then, Jay.
Sorry, I can't share any of my pizza. What if I could? But.
Well, could you describe the experience for us? For us mere mortals who don't live in Chicago, what it's like to have to enjoy, what's the great joy? First of all, the texture.
Well, truth being colored by perspective, it just depends on what you like or not. There's people who don't like pizza much at all. Not to mention the ingredients I have on it might not be to everyone's cup of tea. I happen to have Italian beef, Italian sausage, ground beef, and bacon, and of course mozzarella cheese. And I've added some various spices and stuff, some of them from, you know, just organic, you know, non-GMO stuff that you can buy in the shops, and others have been grown out of my own garden and mixed into a nice little powder here to give some extra flavoring and nutrition. And, you know, this little mixture happens to work for me. Might not be everybody else's cup of tea, but, you know, there's lots of ways to order a pizza, all sorts of configurations.
Wow. Sounds lovely. Very nice. My son has been eating lots of pizza. It's not something that I tend to eat much on my own at the moment. Anyway, meanwhile, there you go. Yes, they are. Wow, very good. Yes. Legends of Atlantis and... oh, it's got Barbara Marciniak talking.
I love that series. It's long.
Is that the one that's got a kind of slightly Australian voiceover?
Yeah, it's got, it's like five long movies or something. It's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah, it's quite...
Legend of Atlantis. It's longer than Star Wars, man. But it's cool, and it's... Most of it isn't anything that most of us don't already know, but seeing as it was not only made in the, like, early 90s, but it was actually aired on TV at some point.
All right, hold the thought. We'll come back. Enjoy your pizza. Neck it down, Dave. We'll be back after a few minutes. August the 19th, 2013. Hour two, Journeys with JP, Revolution Radio, Wolf Spirit Radio, NoBordersRadio.co.uk. Thank you very much. Tonight my guest is Mr. Time Warrior, also known as Dave Kelso. He's in Chicago. He's been eating a pizza. Have you finished it yet, or are you taking your time?
Taking my time.
Bless his heart and liver. So... Hour two, and where were we? I asked you to hold a thought.
Yeah, I was going to say that is really weird what happened, because I was hearing nothing but silence until I took a pause, and then all of a sudden there's all this music, like, blaring at me, and I'm like, what? Some sort of bizarre Skype phenomenon or something. It was very strange.
Yeah, that's what Skype does. It's a quieter. If it hears sound your end, it will quiet the speakers. That's why you can hear people when they talk over the end of each other, because when you speak, you can't hear anything from Skype. That's why it's no good for jamming. We try to use Skype to jam with each other, and it doesn't work, because if you play a note, no, you can't hear anybody else. We use other software. Ventrilo is good. That doesn't have quieting.
By the way, I kind of want to put up a bit of a shameless plug. If people do a YouTube search or even a Facebook search for Katarina Edwards, that is my best friend, and she's awesome, and she's an artist, and she sings, and she's got all sorts of YouTube videos up that are there to kind of share her perspective and her life's journey and her ups and downs, and, you know, just kind of put it out there so that, you know, anybody who can, you know, benefit from the information is welcome to do so. And she has helped a lot of people, and she's quite humble. I mean, I think she'd be hard pressed to you know, describe herself in two, shall we say, you know, ways that are just, you know, really filled with praise. But, you know, she's really awesome, and she's helped me a lot on, you know, my own personal shifts, and she's helped a lot of other people, and, you know, it's not like she charges for what she's doing or anything. Although she does run a business with an Empower Network, and she's got a site, hearstofreedom.info, I think. And that's just a sign up to, you know, her email to, you know, get information and stuff. And her YouTube videos are free. I mean, of course, you could just, you know, do a search on YouTube and, you know, find her. I've got a lot of her videos archived on my YouTube channel. And her and I have also done YouTube videos together. I've had the pleasure of dealing with her in person twice. She lives in Portland, Oregon. I live in Chicago. So we can't hang out all the time, but I love it when we can.
So you sound like you've got a bit of a soft spot for her. And is she a reader or a teacher of some kind?
She's what you might just call an awakening crystal kid, exiting headfirst at full throttle out of misery paradigm into the new energies. And I've told her plenty of times that when she feels like she's going through all this struggle and all this pain and that things seem so hard and so difficult, many of us looking at her, you know, doing this, we're seeing something completely different. We're seeing this marathon runner gracefully paradigm shifting through what took the rest of us, you know, weeks, months, years. Some of the older people, such as yourself, decades maybe even. And, you know, but she's just, you know, she's in her moment like, oh, this is so terrible. I don't know how I'm going to continue. It's so hard. And she's not realizing in that moment that she's handling things so gracefully and so magically and so wonderfully, and she's inspiring everyone who's watching her, and everyone's going, wow, look at how easy she's navigating this. And she's like, easy, what are you talking about? So truth really is colored by perspective. But she's an awesome inspiration, and it's that Olympic marathon paradigm shifting ability that she has that is really the primary inspiration. And she, you know, puts her experiences out there, and she has really inspired a lot of people, and I'm one of them. And of course I've got a soft spot for her. She's my best friend, and she's helped me, dare I say, more than most people have. I mean, she's able to help me face and deal with and clear aspects of myself that I haven't even been able to face on my own, and no one else has known how to help me with. And, you know, just by her being herself without even trying, that's all she needed to do it, because crystal kids just have that awesomeness about them. Her and I have often joked that she teaches me something so then I can teach her, because she does things so naturally, it's almost subconscious, unconscious. She's just so integrated with her magic and mojo, and just so naturally in it that she doesn't even realize that she's doing the awesome stuff she's doing. So, you know, it's like trying to see yourself without a mirror, you know what I mean? So then I've been able to act as that mirror in a lot of these instances, and we'll often joke about how she teaches me so I can teach her. And isn't it ironic that someone could teach someone else something that they don't know themselves? It's like try explaining water to a fish, you know. A fish looks around. What's this water stuff you're talking about? All I see is my environment. What's this water? What is it? She's really amazing, and her videos are really inspiring, and I would highly suggest that, you know, people check them out, because she's really easy to listen to.
Lovely. Talking of easy to listen to, Tracy Kennedy has just posted the Legend of Atlantis 5-part series on Facebook here. So
I have that on my YouTube channel as well, in my Cillian playlist. It's one of them in there. But I love that thing.
All right. Oh, that was interesting. 20 asteroids on the same path as the one that recently struck Russia.
Wait, say that again?
20 asteroids on the same path as the one that recently struck Russia. That's from Siobhan Cirasi.
Must be a coincidence.
Yes. A co-inky-dinky-winky. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Two things which do coincide, but we don't necessarily see the connection. Because that's the proper pronunciation of coincidence. It's coincidence. It's been changed on us so people don't understand its real meaning.
Sinky winky.
Kind of like government means mind control, religion means to bind, imagination, I, magi, nation. I'm an aspect of a nation of magicians, that which is empowered. Wise is short for wizard, wizard. Recreation is not Walt Disney, it's recreation, recreation, recreation. The time you take to reflect and decide what it is you want to become. So English has been completely bastardized.
So, the worst part of it is what the legal people have been doing with it.
Yeah.
Black Magic Dictionary. Black Magic Law Dictionary.
Yep.
So.
That's why they call it spelling.
Yeah. Grim. Grimoire.
Neuro-linguistic programming, but spelling. The casting of spells.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Because what is a spell? It's command and control of an energy form, right? Or a thought form. So what is sound? Sound is energy, and even every religious text says sound creates form. And then they went ahead and lab proved it with the cymatics experiment.
Which, for our listeners, do you want to explain?
You can do a look up on it on Google, but basically what it is, I forgot how many decades ago they did this experiment. The footage is floating around. But they have this flat surface that they run certain frequencies of sound through, and they sprinkle, I forgot if it was salt or sand or what it was, but the sound running through the grains of sand form perfect geometric shapes, and they are highly complex, like the sort of stuff you'd expect to see in crop circles. Highly complex, just by running frequency of sound through sand or salt or whatever it was. Because everything is just energy. Sound and light are two different expressions of the same thing.
Well, it's interesting you say that they come out the same as crop circles, because what I believe is that the crop circles are in fact chymoglyphs, cymatic forms created by large-scale frequency beams that create the same scaled-up versions of those small figures that you're talking about.
True. I also think that a lot of them also come from directly from mass consciousness. I don't think all of them are specifically from some, you know, ship up there beaming them down. I mean, yeah, some of them are, but some of them aren't. It's like saying, you know, there's fish in the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, not one or the other, but, you know, both. So I think some of these phenomenon are when mass consciousness has enough of a focus, well, that focus is energy. So why wouldn't that energy have some sort of an effect or impact or expression of some sort? And of course, physical reality obeys whatever our belief systems are, whatever the collective says physical reality needs to operate in this or that way. So then it's expressed in a way that, you know, is believable to our belief systems. You know, we can see that a crop circle is tangible. You can walk through it. There are physical crops that, you know, this has been made out of on physical land. So it's in alignment with our belief systems. We can look at that and say, oh, there it is. Whereas if it was something more esoteric of an expression, then people could debate over whether or not any information is even being displayed or not. But by putting it you know, encoding it into the hologram of physical reality, we know that crops are there in their field and on that land, so we can't really deny that there it is.
It's an interesting experience to be inside one, I have to tell you.
I've never had the pleasure.
My experience was it was like being in a cathedral. It was like stepping into something, into an enclosed space, yet it was open, yet there was sky and air all around me. I was still within something. It was very odd.
It was a difference in energy, I think. Just like when you have a patch of energy that is different from the surrounding energy, I guess one of the ways the brain could translate that feeling is a similar feeling from going from one room into another, or from going from outside to inside, or inside to outside, or whatever. It's just an acknowledgement that energy in that location flows differently than the other energy that is surrounding.
Yeah, it was flowing like it was inside a building.
Yeah.
And yet, I wasn't inside a building, but there was an edifice that was there. And I believe, from that experience, that may be the source of original temples, that temples were built up around that form that was projected in there, and they become the next temples for the next period of time. It's a pity that
Maybe.
People are growing crops on them, because we'd have hundreds of thousands of temples now. It's interesting.
Definitely quite interesting. Synchronicity, we both said interesting at the same time.
Interesting, yes. Fascinating, Jim.
I have a question.
Ask.
Have you ever heard any other of Barbara Marciniak's works other than Bringers of the Dawn? There's one really good one called Earth's Pleiadian Keys to the Living Library, which you can search that out on YouTube and find it easily. I have it posted on my Facebook page, because obviously my YouTube, you can do a search for PSEC, P-S-E-C, or Paradigm Shift in Educational Comedy. You could fully spell it out on YouTube or Facebook. But just semi-recently on my Facebook page, I posted, the video for Barbara Marciniak's Pleiadian Keys to the Living Library. And it is quite interesting. It's like Bringers of the Dawn, but expanded. It's really very interesting.
I've heard Bringers of the Dawn. I had an audiobook. You know, I had a long drive one day, over 1,000 miles. So I took David Wilcock's audiobook and Barbara Marciniak, and just listened to audiobooks all the way down, and I was all the way back up again.
I love audiobooks. But yeah, this is one of Barbara's audiobooks made. I think either a little before or a little after Bringers of the Dawn, probably a little after. I forgot the specific dates, but you will recognize that strikingly familiar female voice when you listen to it.
It's almost like one of these robot announcer voices. It's very uncolored, if you see what I mean. There's little...
I think it seems
neutral.
To me,
it's very neutral.
Well, it seems to me more like it's colored, but to certain specifics that basically we're used to something containing a lot more. Whereas, for lack of a better way of expressing it, the frequencies being used to relay a specific message are, you know, basically intentionally limited to that within the message. Because remember, the Pleiadians supposedly work with tone and sound a lot, so they always give only the tones and sounds that are needed within the delivery of the message, and they exclude all others. So if you really pay close attention, there is a coloring to it. It's not completely neutral, but you might say it's extremely focused. And we're not used to things in our reality being that focused. Like, even in the Skype conversation, you know, as a human being in you know, my particular existence and life. I've got all these thoughts going. I've got all these expressions going. My personality is kind of out there, more than some people can handle, and they want to stab me in the face with a fork sometimes, but that's besides the point. You've got your personality. We've got, you know, all of this energy from all these different ends of the spectrums coming together in a symphony of simultaneous expression. Whereas when these sorts of messages that Barbara Marciniak gives are more like being in a very quiet room, and there's just like this little candle in the quiet room, and there's just the experience of the candle, and you're kind of focused on that. It's almost like a meditation. So I wouldn't say it lacks coloring. I would say it's just very incredibly specific, and we are used to being bombarded with all this stuff going on all at once, and listening to that is just a calming and a quieting of the mind and the elimination of all this stuff. Suddenly all that stuff isn't there and our brain's like, wait, where'd all the stuff go?
All that stuff. All that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about everybody's experience of the world, isn't it? I see the world through, I hope, much less programming than I used to, and see it more in terms of what it really is and what it just is, and which is good enough to be as it is, and that doesn't have to be anything precious or special.
All of us still have programming inside of us, no matter how quote unquote enlightened we think we are, but there's one of two ways to, well, not one of two ways, but there's, at least in my opinion, two different ways we can look at that. We can see it as, oh, woe is me, the system still partially has a hold on me. Or we could look at it like, wow, this is going to be really fun. It's a great adventure. It's a great opportunity. I get to now be on the lookout for this programming and have fun discovering it and have fun learning about it and have fun deactivating it, and then I can share that experience with others, and that can help them. So we could see it as like this big, expanding, evolving playground, or we can see it as this depressing cesspool of misery, and, you know, whatever our focus is, we'll create more of that, just like adding more fuel to the fire just adds more fire, so to speak. So it's really up to us how we perceive it, because all circumstances are really inherently neutral. It's the filters we process them through that make them what we perceive them to be. I mean, look at fertilizer. It's literally shit, and it stinks, and there's flies, but you know, you can use it to grow a beautiful garden, and who doesn't like a beautiful garden?
Out of filth comes brass. Where there's muck, there's brass, as they say in the north of England. Which means, you know, even if, in fact, you know, if there's mess to be cleaned up, somebody can earn money cleaning up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I tell people sometimes when I'm having these sorts of conversations and they're having difficulty moving out of the burden mentality into the opportunity mentality, I basically say to them, I say, imagine this. Imagine one day you wake up and you go out front of your house and there's this big, huge, literal mountain of literally shit on your front lawn. You know, whether it came from a bull or a horse or whatever. Literally. And I say that they would probably see it as, oh my God, how did this get here? I'm so mad. I'm gonna kill the person who put it there or sue them, and how am I gonna clean up this mess, and this is so terrible, and you know, all this victimization about it. And I tell them, I say, you know how I'd see it? I wouldn't see it like that. You know how I'd see it? And they ask me, how would you see it, Dave? I say, well, I would be rather overjoyed, and I would start looking up the phone numbers of farmer, because I would figure I've got at least $1 million in manure here and I could really use the money.
Or?
So it's all in how you look at it. You can see it as this burden, or you can see it as opportunity. Because obviously if you don't see it as opportunity, you're not going to make any money, because you're not going to think to call the farmers. As a matter of fact, you might end up paying money to have someone else remove it. So it really, how you perceive reality directly determines how reality is going to be, because choices have consequences. Consequence isn't a dirty word, it just means the end result of something. So our worldview paradigm determines the choices we make, and those choices have consequences. Or it's like David Icke likes to say, if you always do what you've always done, then you'll always get what you've always gotten.
That's a nice line. I'm just looking at the chat room here. So, yes.
Yep.
Talking about the...
How many people am I aggravating? Take a count. Take a score.
Well, actually, nobody said anything that Well, apart from, actually, the most controversy you've raised tonight is, like, who makes the best pizza? That's about as far as it's gone so far. There's, you know, a decent-sized chat group, and it's nice to see you all here. And
sometimes people ask me what my life mission is here in this incarnation, and I jokingly say my mission here is to piss as many people off as humanly possible, and so far I've been doing a great job. And then I use the analogy, you know, if you're in a dark room and suddenly you turn on the light, and someone is sleeping in that room, and you blast that light at them, they're probably going to be a little angry, right? Well, when you shine your light into a dark world, you're going to make people mad. It's just, there's no way around that. But that's okay, because, you know, that's how people need to wake up sometimes.
Everybody.
It's not bad. It may not be convenient, but it's not bad.
Everybody has their way.
Mm-hmm. And I just respect people's way. I mean, I don't like it when people get pissed off, but I don't judge it either. It's all about being okay with your not okayness. I'm not okay with people getting pissed off at me, but I am okay with my not okayness, so that kind of, you know, negates judgment. I can see the value in the experience. I can see that, well, I don't prefer that a lot of people seem to need the incredibly hard way about this awakening. It's painful, and I don't wish that on people, but if that's how they want to go about it, then I don't really have the right to say, no, 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 you can't do that. What right do I have?
You can only do what you do.
Yep.
You can't do what you can't do, and you shouldn't do what you shouldn't do. Well, is it, actually, you know, we should be doing what we do, and a lot of the time we're persuaded or distracted from doing that. And a lot of the time we agree because we think, well, it is a bit antisocial or socially awkward to do that.
There really is no should or shouldn't. Except for maybe you should be yourself to the fullest of your ability, and you shouldn't do opposite that, at least if you want to live in any semblance of harmony or happiness.
Oh, here we go. This is from Norm. What Chicago neighborhood is Dave Kelso in?
I'm on the northwest side. I'm in the Jefferson Park, Portage Park area.
Thank you. Now you know, Norm. Norm likes to know details, you know. But anyway, there we go. That's fine. You can move a mountain with water. That was one of the labors of Hercules, wasn't it? There was an enormous mountain of poo, and what he did was to, rather than dig the whole mountain of poo, he very simply diverted a river into the stable, and it fed all the fields below it, and there was a bounteous crop, and everybody was happy, and it didn't stink anymore.
I've never heard that story.
That's it was one of the labors, one of the 12 labors of Hercules, and damned if I can remember which one. Because the 12 labors of Hercules have an esoteric meaning. They, you know, they're the the carriage through the year of the story of the hero. There's only one story. It's the story of the hero, which is Hercules. And every astrological sign is corresponding with one of the labors. I used to do this, what do they call them? Yeah, like a little drama that, like an astro drama that was like the playing out of the character of the energy of the month. It was quite an interesting exercise.
JP, can you send me a link to whatever the main chat room that everybody's in right now? I know sometimes it's two or three, but it's the main one right now.
All right, is www.wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat.
Oh, okay.
I think you're in there the other day.
I was in there the other day, but I know there are several.
Yeah.
So I was double checking.
Yeah, you can go to the Revolution Radio, but mostly that's about Studio A stuff. So.
Okay, because I want to post a link, and I just wanted to know where to do that.
Good. Good idea. Good idea. So,
how many of you have heard of Teal Scott, by the way?
Oh yes, we've been watching Teal Scott and watching the psychic vampire video, which is quite an interesting thing to watch.
Because I have a video that I put together. That takes clips from both Katarina Edwards and Teal Scott. It's called Letting Go of Guilt and Self-Abuse, which seems to be a really big one these days, because that's like one of the biggest holdbacks we have is, making shifting harder because we're beating ourselves up over pretty much nothing. And I just wanted to share that. I took some clips, some of the best clips from both ladies. I don't have the pleasure of personally knowing Teal, but I know that I haven't really heard most of Teal's videos, but I know that they synchronistically pop up in my face exactly when I need them, and they say exactly what I need to hear, exactly when I need to hear it, and Teal's videos are just freaking magic. So, her video that had some of the data on letting go of, guilt and self-abuse came at exactly a perfect time for me as another video that Katarina had done, and I could see that they would weave in and out of each other just perfectly. So I put together this like hybrid compilation as a little thank you to both of them, and Katarina, I gave it directly to Teal. I dropped a note. I don't know if she's ever got it. I know she's busy, and I would understand if she hasn't had time, but I just shared the link to that video. That link is on my channel, but you could very easily find Teal Scott's channel and find Katarina's channel just by doing a search.
Charlie, good. So your channel is it called PSEC or Paradigm Shift?
Well, PSEC is an acronym. Yeah. It stands for Paradigm Shift and Educational Comedy, PSEC.
Yeah, but so how do people find your YouTube channel?
Well, they could find it doing a search for either, but, you know, most people don't like to type more than they have to, so I begin all of the main, you know, PSEC episodes with PSEC, and I'll usually put them by acronym and then by year. Like, for example, PSEC 2012, Discernment, All the World's a Stage, 704 by 384. That's the resolution. I like to do things in multiple resolutions. Needless to say, my stuff will typically begin with PSEC. Although there's some other things that are called PSEC as well, and even come to find Bill Gates actually has his own PSEC acronym, and it's the acronym which governs his idea on how to depopulate the planet, which I found to be an amusing irony because I didn't know about that until way later.
Ah, so it's a form of Agenda 21.
Exactly, but I didn't know that.
Interesting.
And then I saw it, so like I did like a screen capture of, like, and I have this on my Facebook page. You could do, if you could find me on Facebook. Somewhere in my photos, there's a screen capture of a search where his video is coming up alongside one of mine, and I posted a caption on the screen capture image saying, thanks, Bill, for the free advertisement or something of that, to that effect.
So, yes, so, good old Bill, Genocide Bill, as he's lovingly known to his mates. He's one of these people, they say, when he was a kid, his mother took him to the, child psychiatrist, and he said, this child is fine as long as nobody gets in his way.
Yeah. You know what? What Bill Gates doesn't realize is
he's a dick.
He's putting all this effort in over nothing. There's a much simpler way to accomplish what he's looking to accomplish. All you got to do is take all the warning labels off of everything, and then just let nature take its course. He's putting way too much effort.
So yes, to allow people to burn poison and damage themselves at will, as it were.
And, well, it's mostly making fun of the fact that we become so narrowed down that we have warning labels that say things like, warning, this knife is sharp and has sharp edges and may cut you. I've seen some of the most ridiculous warning labels. I look at it like, duh.
Well, it's that famous, I think it's all about that famous woman who microwaved her poodle, because she used to put it in the regular oven, and it was fine, you know, when you've a very low oven, you can put your poodle in, and it'll just be warm for him, it'll be fine, but microwaves don't work the same, and so you can't put your poodle in the oven the same way as you used to put the poodle in the oven. Because microwaves, you know, it doesn't matter how much, you know, how low you turn it down, you're still going to roast your poodle. It's not, but, you know, how do you explain that to people? It's like, how do you explain the difference between analog and digital recording to people when they don't even know how magnetic tape is, what it's made from, that cassettes were made from rust on plastic.
Yeah, how do you explain to people that DSL is nothing more than dial-up with the dial tone eliminated and add compression?
Yeah, I was thinking about that today, about the high frequency. It was a radio wave that's carried on the telephone line and the coils and all that stuff. But, you know, I often think about, like, now, where can I find a nice thick coil? I'm looking to build a device. It's a radiant energy device, and it depends on creating a large magnetic field that collapses very quickly. So you need a large amount of copper. So I'm looking for something. It's like looking around for a dead microwave so I can steal the copper coil out of the middle of that.
Just be careful how you collapse that field, otherwise you might run into Walternet by accident, and he might be very mad at you and try to destroy the universe.
Yeah, ripping a hole in space and time with an old microwave and a reed switch.
Just make sure you don't get it past 88 miles per hour, and you'll be all set.
That's right. And you gotta go 1 meter a second, or you lose your the backs of your hands. Yes, we here are coming up to the end of our 2 hours. So, Dave, let's have a quick recap of your websites and how people may find your stuff. Do you have a kind of .com, .net, or anything like that? TimeWarrior.com?
Well, to get to the YouTube channel, you can go to http://paradigmshift.forauniedhumanity.com, and that will redirect to the YouTube channel, and I'll also post the link.
The sound of a link being posted. the post.
And link. you can also find my stuff on DeviantArt, paradigm-shifting.deviantart.com. And, of course, searching out Paradigm Shift and Educational Comedy on Facebook is a no-brainer for those who use Facebook, but I will post the direct link for those of you who really don't like
typing. Go on. Nobody likes to type, Dave. Everybody wants to click. Just let them click. You do the typing.
There we go. Let's see. I guess that pretty much does it. I mean, there's other services and stuff I'm hooked into, but those are, you know, pretty much the three main ones, and those can branch off all the others. So, you know, plenty to for people to look at and give themselves a massive migraine when they're bored.
Yeah, I recommend people to drink lots of coffee before watching one of Dave's videos.
Or something.
Lots of something.
Yeah, drink lots of something. Yeah. But yeah, I will warn people that I use humor in a very politically incorrect way. So some of it has been known to offend even some of the most open-minded of light workers. So just a little warning there. I have no judgments against politically incorrect forms of humor, so a lot of what I use might be considered to be very distasteful. One example, there's a video I made on polarity integration that was something called Johnson & Johnson's Morning Wood, and I'm sure you can already picture the analogy. It's one of those Freudian types of things where me and some friends were hanging out in the backyard, and our friend Chris starts talking about his morning wood in the innuendo type of context, and so I literally take a rectangular piece of wood, and I write on there Chris's morning wood, and I draw an outline of male genitalia on there, and I hand that to him, and he starts almost making it like a frickin' morning wood infomercial. You know, every man should be proud of their morning wood, and you know, like, and then people start taking pictures around him, and it's almost like this Vidal Sassoon photo op or something, and it just got real corny. And of course, the whole idea of this is, you know, as Bashar likes to say, if you want to be enlightened, just lighten up. You know, it's just all about these ideas that these judgments that we have are illusions, but you know, people who miss the polarity integration point are bound to get highly offended by the video. This is one example.
If you don't like dick jokes, don't worry. Anyway, so, I mean, every Bill Hicks, that was what made people laugh, wasn't it? It was
Bill Hicks and George Carlin, two of my favorites. And that reminds me, the first time I ever heard of Dick Cheney, I thought to myself, isn't that something you wear?
Of course, they call him Donkey, don't they? So, meanwhile, it gets to that point of every meeting when it gets to the dick jokes. It's a good thing that the time is sort of running short here. We've got about 12 minutes to go before the top of the hour. I'd like to thank Dave Corso for making Wolf Spirit Radio possible. I'd like to thank Gary Collins for making No Borders Radio possible. I'd like to thank Mike Ringley for making Revolution Radio possible. And blessings all around. Thank you for everybody who's listening.
I'd like to thank the All That Is One and the One That Is All for making reality experience in the multiverse possible.
There you go. That should cover everything then, shouldn't it?
Pretty much.
I was hoping to draw it out a little bit longer, you see.
Thank you for having me on. I'm sure we'll do this again at some point. And just to quickly remind people, Katarina Edwards, go watch her stuff, drop her a line, and tell her she's awesome. She needs to be told she's awesome because she underestimates herself a lot sometimes. So show her the love. Show her the love.
Big her up a bit because she deserves it. So, yeah, have you got a link for Katharina in those links that you put in the chat room there, Dave?
Sure. Let me go ahead and do that. I mean, obviously, you can just search for Katharina Edwards and find it, but let me go ahead and...
Typing in the chat room. Dave's typing in the chat room. So if you want to find out how long the delay is, wait till Dave just types in time, the amount of time that it takes for Dave to type this thing in, and then it to be appearing when you hear us talking about him, about Katharina Edwards. Wait, come on, Dave.
Let me get you her Facebook page, too, for those of you who are on Facebook.
Is it K-A-A-A-T-R-E-I-N-A-E? Wow. So anyway, we're posting YouTube links at the moment for Katharina Edwards, Dave Kelso with the Paradigm Shift, the educational comedy, all the way from Chicago, having been fueled by a pizza with your own special stuff on it.
Something like that. Almost there with the other Facebook link. One moment.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I'll also post that into the other chat room in Revolution Radio there.
Yeah, a bunch of different links for that.
Just
but
in
yeah,
case anyway.
Make sure to comment and tell her you love her and tell her she's awesome and thank her for doing what she's doing and tell her she's worthy and deserving because she is and she really beats herself up a lot to her own admission and definitely tell her that I sent you.
You remember where you heard it first.
Yeah, tell her that I sent you. Say, Dave's right, you're awesome and you're worthy and deserving and we love you.
Dave Kelso, part of the Dave Network.
Yeah.
Right. So, very good. So, we'll be talking some more with Jay Larson in a couple of weeks. What else have we got going? Oh, yes, in a few moments' time on Revolution Radio Studio B, you'll be hearing Tom, a mad painter with open canvas, and let's hope that Dave and I have opened your mind enough to appreciate...
Make it hurt.
To make it hurt.
Make it hurt. For all you sadomasochists out there that get off on that sort of thing, I'm just playing. One suggestion, though, if I may, JP.
You may. You've got minutes.
I would recommend approaching Katharina yourself and offering for her to be a guest on your show. She's definitely a very interesting person to talk to, and I think you and your audience would enjoy it. But that is just my opinion. Do as you wish. It's not an order. Just my opinion.
Okay, well, maybe we'll have a multiple conversation one day and we'll have a chat. That'd be nice. So, yeah. Well, 1848, a good year. So, with... I'm going to look at the nations around the north of Turtle Island here. So there's a lovely map. I've not seen too many of the ones that include Canada. It kind of stops at the border there. So it's always good to see the Canadian tribes. Do you have any Native American within you?
Yes, I do. Cherokee. About 15%. Oh, by the way, you said you were going to do something with my raise or something, and then we forgot all about it.
Oh, yes, so we did. So we did. Let's have a quick check. So, Dave Kelso, your my soul, Dave Kelso, Monad Ray 1, Ray 2. Yeah, so your Monad Ray 2, your soul ray is Ray 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, five, rave five, interesting. And personality rave 1, rave 2, rave 3, rave 4. Ah, so 254, which is quite an unusual ray connection now.
I'm an unusual person.
Yes, yeah. So it's interesting, yeah. So normally that's highly mercurial. Interesting. Yeah.
So what's the prognosis, Doc? Will my rays live?
Well, you know, you'll have an interesting life. But yeah, with the fourth ray personality, okay, and a fifth ray soul, you are very close to Frank Zappa's ray packages. So there's this kind of element of... yeah, the fifth ray is where you get the kind of... how can I put this? Have I offended somebody? Kind of thing. what's that album, Frank Zappa album? Did I offend someone?
Someone is knocking on my door and does not realize I can't be interrupted right now and that I will talk to them in a few minutes.
So with that, you've got you'll have conflict, but the conflict will be as to what is the more you'll see duality in all sorts of levels, including levels of information, which you're looking towards which one is the truth. So you'll see different forms of higher truth, and also realize that you can even have misinformation built within higher truth.
Yeah, truth is colored by perspective, all truths are true, and just choices have consequences. And just exactly what I was saying earlier, it's like your ray reading is reflecting my little dissertation earlier.
Yeah, yeah, so that's the perspective of 254. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. This is... I mean, I don't meet that many fifth ray souls, but they're very good with remembering things. They're like...
I've been called the human hard drive. I annoy people. I was once remembering something that a female friend had said at a very inconvenient time to her ego for that to be remembered, and I kind of laughed and I said, I thought you said you loved it when guys listened and paid attention and remembered, and she half laughed and she said, I take it back.
Be careful what you ask for, huh?
Yeah, careful what you wish for. Some aspect of yourself just might get it in some universe of some sort.
Yeah. So yes, fifth ray soul with very much like you say, a human hard drive, a fount of knowledge. This knowledge is creative, is expressed creatively. You know, different people do it different ways. For instance, a 5-3 energy may, for instance, make a magazine or something like that. But you have Ray 4, which is more colorful. It involves trying to bring in the right brain as well as the left brain. So
yeah,
the video thing and the comedy thing, that all fits in with that.
I'm also a musician, among other things, so yeah, correct.
Yeah. And, you know, you get my Frank Zappa references. You know, you were obviously in tune with that energy there.
I understand, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So, yeah, so there's your ray reading. What do you think?
But I refuse, if I ever have any children, I refuse to name them Moon Unit or Dweezil. I'm not going there.
Please, yeah, just put in Derek or Sharon, you know.
Well, all I can say is spot on, and all I can do is ask, is there anything else to it? Because all I could say is spot on, correct.
Well, be aware that the process is of integrating the fourth ray of harmony through conflict in service to the fifth ray of wisdom and knowledge.
Sounds exactly what I've been in the process of learning how to do, and I've just kind of been... That's why moving out of judgment has been important, kind of like learning how to enjoy and appreciate the ride, even if the ride has a lot of turbulence.
Yeah, it's just a ride. And don't be oversensitive. Don't be the princess and the pea.
Yeah, exactly.
The fourth ray has this thing, you know. And you get fourth ray because of karma. You know what it is, you know, that you need to feel something this mm-hmm. lifetime. So you'd be experiencing things perhaps in a little more intensely than most people.
In order that
you learn what it's like to feel that on the other end. Do you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. And it's about being able to continue to feel, but rather than allow that to dominate, to wield. Hold on a minute. I'm on internet radio right now.
Let them in.
This is one of those days where everything is converging at once.
I had a moment like that last night. Do you want to go and get your door? Go and get the door.
Oh. The show is almost over, so I can wait until then.
All right. So I hope you have your guest is a very nice person, and you've had a nice meal with your pizza. Thank you very much for joining me, Dave Kelso, Time Warrior, and look, all the links in the chat room. God bless you all. Thank you very much. Good night, Dave.